this afternoon, we're just going to review with the attorneys that are doing some preliminary work for us to determine not why the bridge collapsed. We want to be certain about that. This is not an investigation why the bridge collapsed, but what we're doing is checking to see the legislature is to determine if there can be some changes made and what the process was, and basically that's what we're trying to do. We recognize that we also have a legislative audit function going on, and we actually have the NTSB, which is the National Transportation Study Board. They are making the determination as far as the 35W bridge collapse. So as far as this committee is concerned, we're trying to determine if we can make some, recommend some changes and do something that will expedite the process and avoid similar situations that we have in the past. We have, this committee was charged to interview and a group to do some investigation, and there was a select committee comprised of some of the members here as far as an interview committee, and they did determine to authorize and engage in a contract with the attorneys of Gray, Plant, and Moody, and they are here today basically to give us a report what's going on and why, what they're expecting and what we expect from them, and actually what's if they expect something more from us. It's basically a report, and also to let the committee be aware of who they are and what they're doing. We're not, again, we should recognize that MnDOT is involved in a litigation project, a process, I believe. So some of the questions that we have may have certainly probably will not be answered, if we want to say it that way. It wouldn't come up because we have to be concerned about the issues, and I'm sure the gentleman from Gray, Plant, Moody will indicate that. If no further questions, Mr. Stein, I believe, if you'd introduce your group. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Robert Stein of Gray, Plant, Moody, and I'm joined in here today with other members of the firm who are managing this investigation with me of matters relating to the collapse of the I-35W bridge, and we're have undertaken that work on your behalf. Let me introduce the other members of our team that have been working on this. First of all, to my left is Bruce Moody, and Bruce is a longtime managing partner of Gray, Plant, Moody, a senior lawyer in Minnesota who has represented many important issues and brings a great deal of experience in his practice to this investigation. To my immediate right is Tom Johnson, also a member of the firm. Many of you may know Mr. Johnson as the former county attorney in Hennepin County, and his work as county attorney was recognized nationally for the excellence of the service he gave to Hennepin County, and of course included among that were numerous investigations that are part of necessary part of the work of county attorney. And to my far right is Catherine Bergstrom, Ms. Bergstrom is head of the litigation department of the Gray, Plant, Moody firm, particularly business litigation. And in her practice, she's done a number of intense investigations on behalf of clients regarding issues that arise in their corporate practice. So she's been a strong addition to her team. My own experience it has been, in addition to my service at Gray, Plant, Moody, I was at the University of Minnesota, a longtime dean of the law school, and for a time a vice president of the university. And especially as vice president, I had the unfortunate responsibility of conducting some investigations into our athletic program from time to time there. So I bring that experience. And then for 12 years, I was executive director of the American Bar Association and had the familiarity with some investigations there, including some antitrust investigations. I would just say this about the Gray Plant Moody firm. I believe you have materials at your place that say something about the firm, but it's a long-established firm in the city of Minneapolis. In fact, it's the law firm with the longest continuous existence of any firm in the city of Minneapolis, having been founded in 1866, and has a broad range of practice areas. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, in the 3.5 months since you retained us, if you remember, it was just before the holidays, you asked us to undertake this work on your behalf. We have been working intensely in this investigation. We worked professionally with the MnDOT representatives to request information and documents, schedule interviews, and coordinate investigation matters. And I'd like to note that MnDOT has been generally cooperative in responding to our requests. There have been some stresses and strains, in part because of the intensely short time frame of this investigation. And so we're trying to work through these very hard with MnDOT. Normally, if you make a request and it takes an extra week to produce the documents and investigate, that's not a problem. But when you're working towards a May deadline, even a week's delay is a problem. But I think MnDOT is sensitive to that. We don't think we're going to request your assistance in getting through this, but we want you to know that this has been a serious burden for MnDOT, and they've responded, I believe, as promptly as they can. We've received, and let me give you a report on this. We have received and have reviewed many and are still reviewing approximately 16,000 documents received from MnDOT, from URS, the consulting firm, via MnDOT, and from the Office of the Legislative Auditor in the form of work papers of the Office of the Auditor. The documents range from one page to hundreds of pages each, so we are literally reviewing tens of thousands of pages in this work. We're still expecting further document delivery from MnDOT. We've been in contact with them just this morning about the most recent batch. Much of the data that we're seeking right now had to do with electronic data, emails, and other electronic forms of communication back and forth between relevant parties. As the documents are obtained, they're placed in a database that we've established in the firm that allows us to retrieve a particular document any number of ways, by the name of the document, by the date, by the persons that are involved, by the issues that are involved in the document. So that has enabled us to tie together many different documents from many different places and many different times that address a particular fact. Early in the investigation, our firm established a tip line to receive information from those wishing to provide it anonymously or by giving their name, and information about that tip line is posted on the website that we've established relating to this investigation, and the public can access our website directly or by going through the Joint Bridge Committee's website. There's a direct link to our investigation page. To date, we've recorded approximately 18 interviews with current MnDOT staff and senior officials and have 12 more scheduled over the next 2 weeks. We've interviewed approximately 15 others, non-MnDOT people, and have another 15 or so non-MnDOT interviews on our work plan in the remaining weeks of April. So you see we have a very busy agenda going forward. This includes, incidentally, interviews with former governors and former commissioners of the Department of Transportation who have served during the life of this bridge, as well as other people that have relevant information to this investigation. We intend to complete, in fact, we must complete these interviews in the next 2.5 weeks or so in order to meet our deadline to bring a report to you in early May. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it might be helpful just to briefly describe what this investigation seeks to accomplish. I think the chair set this out in his initial remarks, but let me return to that point and address how it relates to other studies and investigations undertaken related to that bridge collapse. We are seeking to develop information about the policies, practices, and decision-making in MnDOT that will enable you, first us, to make recommendations to you, and then you to decide how to take whatever steps you feel are necessary to reduce, if not eliminate, the possibility that a tragedy like this could ever happen again. Other studies include the National Transportation Safety Board study, and you know that will report on the technical cause of the collapse, and they have already released a preliminary and partial report. So we've obviously been following their releases very closely. It's a challenge that we all have together to do this report at this time before the final report of the NTSB has been released, but that's where we find ourselves, and so we're utilizing whatever information we can when it becomes available. You earlier heard a report from Mr. Nobles, the legislative auditor, describing and answering questions about his evaluation report on state highways and bridges, and his report, as you know, addressed particularly issues of funding the maintenance and repair of the highway infrastructure in Minnesota, including bridges. Mr. Nobles has been very helpful to us in our work, and we want to publicly thank him for that cooperation. The report we will prepare for you will be an independent, I want to stress independent, we've been asked to give our best judgment on these matters, an independent, in-depth analysis of policies, practices, and decision-making specifically with regard to the I-35W bridge. Not bridges in general in Minnesota, but taking the tragedy of this bridge as an example to focus on these issues. As you know, that was the busiest bridge in the state, with over 140,000 vehicles crossing it every single day. So it's an important issue to the state how the maintenance repair of that particular vital bridge was treated. I'd like to note the report will also cover the entire life of the bridge and not just the last few years, and analyze how various inspection reports and studies over the 40-some years of the life of that bridge were handled, particularly in light of the bridge's original design, one which was obsolete almost after it was built and that design was no longer used nationally or in Minnesota for much time after its construction. And in light of its deteriorating condition over time, and some major, major modifications that were made to it during the life of that bridge. We hope to help you decide whether at any point in time prudent safety policies and practices would suggest different or additional corrective actions that might have been taken to assure bridge safety. And let me give you just a few examples of some of the issues that we are looking at in our examination. Were appropriate load rating and structural integrity analyses conducted prior to major bridge modifications and at other appropriate times? We know that inches of additional decking were placed on that bridge. We know that concrete dividers, boundaries were added to that bridge. We know that an additional lane of traffic was added to that bridge. And so we're examining the process all through this period of time of how these modifications were treated in the process of bridge maintenance and improvement. Was there a responsible and appropriate follow-up to recommendations presented by outside consultants to MnDOT? MnDOT has utilized and outsourced a good bit of their work on that bridge, and we're examining the reports that they received and how they were responded to within the department. How did information regarding the I-35W bridge safety concerns flow to, from, and within MnDOT? Where did the information go when safety concerns were reported? Who received it? What happened to it? Where did the information stop? And how did the information flow to, from, and among consultants, contractors, and others working on the bridge? There was a series of consulting arrangements, and we're trying to examine the integration of those consulting arrangements and whether the consultants themselves knew about previous issues that had been raised. Did all appropriate people within MnDOT have knowledge of and input into key decisions relating to safety concerns about the bridge? Were all relevant informations available and utilized? And were there clear lines of responsibility for decision making? We think these are all important issues going forward to be sure that we can have some confidence in the safety of our bridges in the future. What information regarding the I-35W safety concerns flowed to the governor of the state or to you, the legislature? Were you apprised at any time about the various concerns that inspections reported on the bridge? And what information should have flowed under a best practices kind of policy? And again, this may help you decide going forward how you want to manage and oversee this particular area. Can we learn anything from the policies and practices of other states regarding prudent handling of bridge safety concerns? And we have begun to look at other areas, particularly the collapse of a very similar bridge in Ohio some 10 years earlier, and what was done there and what was learned here from that development. Were there any changes in policies, practices, or organizational structures at MnDOT that increase safety risks for the I-35W bridge? As I indicated, we're looking at it over a 40-year period, and so we're trying to see if we were doing things differently in the past than we are now, and what are the implications of that. And did the large cost of repair or replacement of the bridge have any effect on the decision of how to address the safety concerns about the bridge? I think this is a major issue for this committee and for legislature. Going forward, what steps can the legislature take to address the issue of budget buster costs of replacement of a major bridge if serious safety concerns and deficiencies emerge? So this is a broad sweep of some themes that we're examining as we review the documents and undertake the interviews. In an effort to provide you with information and recommendations to carry out your responsibilities as the representing the people of the state to ensure safety of Minnesota bridges. As you know, we're planning on delivering a report to you in early May, and as the chair indicated, because we have so many interviews to do in the remaining 3 weeks we have, we think it would be premature and counterproductive to suggest any particular findings, tentative conclusions, or recommendations. But with that caveat, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have about our investigation or any other matter that you would find of interest. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Stein.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and committee members, I think Mr. Stein touched on a very important fact, and that's that the fact that our legislative auditor did a very good job in depicting the financial situation within MnDOT, and because of that, I do believe we were able to better forward a funding package in our state. And to Mr. Nobles and all of his group, we appreciate their hard work. They've always been very good and spot on. Mr. Stein, I've got a series of questions to ask here, and I'll just kind of go one at a time. But if you can help the committee understand what you're doing different from the NTSB investigation, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Senator Murphy, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I can expand on that somewhat. The NTSB is, of course, looking at the technical reason the bridge collapsed, and we've already received their partial report that poorly designed gusset plates were a weakness on the bridge. They stress that that's not their final conclusion, And, of course, one of the interesting things is why did it fall in 2007 and not in any of the earlier years? So was there something more recent that was also important? We are not examining why the reasons that the bridge fell. But what we're attempting to do is look at policies and practices within our transportation department in Minnesota to see how safety concerns were addressed through this period of time. And so we can make recommendations to this committee as to steps that you might urge, require, to ensure that a disaster like this doesn't occur again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Stein, the other thing, I'm glad you mentioned the tip line, and I was kind of wondering what kind of usage the tip line is getting, if any at all.
Mr. Stein.
Senator Murphy, Mr. Chairman, Frank, I guess I would say it has not received a great deal of usage. The public comments we received were primarily received right at the outset of our work and not frequently, but perhaps with this meeting today, public might become reminded of this possibility of providing information.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman,
and
Mr. Stein, in your in your opening comments, you talked about some electronic data and not being able to receive that. And I was wondering if you could differentiate between maybe the information that you're looking to get from MnDOT versus URS. And my understanding is that MnDOT has tried to comply with your electronic request. It's just that there's some technical difficulties.
Mr. Stein.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, let me make a general statement, and then with your permission, I'd like to ask Catherine Bergstrom to talk further about that since she's been specifically making the requests. But let me put this in the context, first of all. This is an extremely condensed period of time to do this investigation, so we recognize that enormous demands have been made on MnDOT when they have their normal job to do and other investigations going on to produce all of this documentation. So I want to be very respectful of that. But since we have been asked by you to bring in a report before the legislature adjourns, we have pushed very hard. And in the case of information by other entities, we've made the request through MnDOT, and then they in turn forwarded to the entity that had it. One crucial entity is URS that did some study of that bridge at a critical time, and that is one in which we've had some delay in getting that back. I would say that just within hours, we've had communications that indicate that is coming faster than what we were earlier told, and hopefully we can speed that up even more after this discussion of it today. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Chair, if I might ask Ms. Bergstrom to say just a little more about that.
Sure. Most of the information that we're looking at would fall generally into three categories, I think: paper, electronics, and testimony. And I think that MnDOT has been very good about providing both paper and testimony, making its people available. The electronic review is a little more problematic because, as everyone is well aware, it's exponential in its size, if you will. As I understand it, URS has provided about 95% of its electronic information to MnDOT, and MnDOT then has an obligation to provide a data practices review of that so that it does not release the wrong information. And so they are somewhat strapped with all the other things going on. They're trying to get that done, and I understand that we'll have some of that information by the end of the day tomorrow and the rest early next week.
Good. Thank you.
Senator Murphy, are you finished?
I'm all done, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Bergstrom, is there any problem with any of that information? Is that classified, or is that available to you?
Some of the information we've requested is not available to us. because it is information that falls under the umbrella of the NTSB investigation, and until that investigation is over, that information is not available to us. There's a limited amount of information that goes to infrastructure and security, and then some other information which is just redacted, cell phones, home phones, things like that.
Thank you. Representative Medore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and testifiers. Again, you referenced that this hearing today might prompt people to want to contact you. Could you tell us again the website address and the tip line phone number? It would be very helpful for us to have that.
I'm sure one of my colleagues has that.
The website address is www.gpmlaw.com. And I believe that if you access the website, you can find your way to the tip line. There's both an email address and a phone number. There's also a website set up for the Joint Bridge Committee through the legislature, and that has a bookmark tab for special counsel. And if you go to that, it automatically provides you the tip line information.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Colk.
Thank you, Mr. Sharon. I'm just wondering, given the, sounds like you have maybe a couple dozen interviews yet to conduct and still some issues with just the paperwork and piling up, so what can we expect from that early May report? You had a long list of things you were looking into. I mean, I'm just wondering the timeline here, Mr. Chair, and if this is even
Mr. Stein.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cole, members of the committee, it's daunting. I would be less than honest if I didn't say that. But we agreed to do that for the contractual terms that we agreed with you. So we will produce a report. I am confident, based on where we are right now, that it will contain useful information that I think will enable the legislature to address this situation in beneficial ways going forward. Would it be better if we would have had more time? It certainly would. There's many themes we'd like to run down and pursue that we may not be able to, but we have three plus weeks left, and we'll have a good report for you.
Mr. Steiner, are these normally depositions or is it just interviews that you're conducting?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, each one of the interviews, with maybe one or two exceptions at MnDOT, has been with a court reporter. The persons interviewed have not been placed under oath, so it's been somewhat of a medium approach taken to obtaining information. Most of the interviews some but not all of the interviews of non-MnDOT people have been without the presence of a court reporter, and notes were taken of those interviews and verifying the accuracy of that information.
Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have two quick questions. One is, will you let us know if you don't get the electronic communication that you're seeking from the Department of Transportation so that we might be able to follow up with them? And then second, would you let us know in your report, were you planning to let us know areas that you would have liked to have gone into if you had more time, and directions that we may want to continue to inquire about?
Mr. Stein.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hortman, I think that's an excellent suggestion. Actually, we haven't sort of integrated that in an outline that we've been developing, but I think your suggestion is excellent. We will do that.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are you finding that the auditor report answered some of the questions you might be looking at, and or is there overlap in some regards to the direction you were traveling there?
Mr. Stein.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Earhart, I don't think there is overlap in terms of where we were intending to go. I thought the auditor's report was an excellent review of the funding structure for highway improvements, this bridge and bridges generally in the state. And we were
warned by the auditor and others right at the outset that this is a labyrinth of intricate formulas and so on that determine all of that, in which his experience brings a great understanding of that would be difficult to provide in a short time. Our focus in the funding area has been more on the subject of when you have just enormous, we call it a budget buster project, what is a state to do when you have an emergency like that and something that just can't be handled in the normal budget? We're trying to determine what the department concludes when something like that happens. I've been asking former governors that question. I think that's an issue going forward if we're going to take seriously responding to serious safety deficiencies in monstrously expensive projects.
Thank you.
Senator Salzman, did you have a question?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. There has been, Mr. Stein, a number of letters in the paper and correspondences from the between the federal investigation and the NTSB and internal memos of feeling a sense of a deadline, perhaps a rush to judgment, and those are being addressed, and I appreciate that. But some of your comments today about your timeline and what we've set for you, I guess I'd like to express that it's very important that if you feel that your investigation is at all compromised because of a timeline, that you would share that with us. Or else to note, as we heard earlier, perhaps what you could not investigate, because I think these are taxpayer dollars, and we want it to be very clear that this is not a partisan investigation, that it's clearly going to be dealt with, and that if time is a factor, that you share that with us. Because I think the public has a lot of question right now about some of the other investigations and what's driving them and self-imposed deadlines.
Mr. Stein?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Salzman, thank you for that, and we will try to make that clear. When I stressed tried to give an honest answer to the short time we have, we are committed to try to give you the most thorough report that is possible within this time.
Mm-hmm. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stein. Kind of a comment and maybe a request, but you know, we've given you a charge to try to find out what we can do better. Part of what I would like to see in the final report is what are we doing right, and those things that we're doing right, we need to expose those too, so that people understand that we do have a good bridge program in our state. And I think I would like to see a portion of the report kind of categorize what we do right in our state. Because I do believe that the commissioner got it right when he closed the Highway 23 bridge up in St. Cloud. And I think that there had to be a process in place that allowed Mr. Dorgan and his group to approach the commissioner and say, hey, you know, serious issues here. The commissioner says, yes, we do. We close the bridge. So I think that there are some things that we do right, and we need to make sure that people understand that as well. My other request, and I'm drawing a blank. I should have wrote it down. I'll get back to you. But if you could let us know what they're doing right and how we can highlight that and maybe enhance it, that would be great.
Senator Murphy, maybe it was request. I think a staffing question is, and that probably is being addressed, is there a staffing shortage or I don't know how that works into it, but that's been a question sometimes as far as staffing goes.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. He even reads minds now, so... That was part of the question. Is staffing levels in our bridge office, are they adequate? And if not, what kind of account would we need to have some sort of assurance that Mr. Dorgan and those folks had all the people at their fingertips? That would be very helpful.
Senator or Representative Madore?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to that point, I guess I'd also like to ask that if you could give us an idea of what the reliance on consultative projects were in making a lot of these determinations. Oftentimes, most of the staff, as we've heard over and over again, they rely on consultants to come in and give these reports. So was there a disproportionate amount of people on paid project work versus regular staff employees that may have better access to the decision makers at MnDOT? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Stein, are the people in the Federal Highway Department involved in your interviews?
No, although we have, and I don't believe, Catherine, you've spoken to the contact person there yet, have you? It's on our list to, obviously their investigation is confidential until they release their report, but we do intend to speak with the person who's relating to the state about the coordination between the two investigations.
And Mr. Stein, I don't mean not those people, but like the division people that work with MnDOT on a normal basis. I don't want to infer anything about the bridge collapse, but I mean as far as relationships or how they work with with their counterparts.
We'll be sure, Mr. Chairman, we'll be sure we have that on our list of interviews.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Stein, you know, a number of us woke up a couple Sundays ago to a picture on the front page of the Star Tribune of those gusset plates. And in your investigation, do you have the flexibility to be able to respond to, you know, we're getting new kinds of information constantly, whether it's through investigative reports, we've talked about the auditor. Are you able to kind of pivot a little bit and respond to these kinds of information if, in fact, you may not have it already?
Mr. Stein?
Mr. Chairman, or Representative Hornstein, you've identified one of the great challenges of doing this this investigation. But the short answer to your question is yes. We are following developments closely and trying to involve that in further questioning we do after this development occurs, and in fact have plans to call some interview again some people that we spoke to at an earlier time. But and I think it's personally extremely appropriate that this committee is doing what you're doing to try to gather facts to carry out your responsibilities. And you meet only once a year, and so you have to do it in a short period of time. We've got other studies going on at the same time, and information keeps flowing out. There's a potential, perhaps, for some lawsuits in the future, and more information may come out of those as well. But we have to do the best we can with what we have and be flexible to try to take account of new information as it emerges. We're doing our best to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Representative Peterson.
Given it's our money and your time, do we need to temper our expectations of what this report is going to say?
Mr. Stein?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Peterson, I don't think so. We got into the time problems because it's a realistic constraint we're working with, but we feel that we will be able to provide you with information you'll find very useful in carrying out your responsibilities.
Okay.
Any further questions? Not. That's it. Gentlemen, thank you very much, and we look forward to your report in May, I presume.
Thank you.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.